Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Monday afternoon in East Tennessee. I hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. And thanks for being with us, man. We got a big one lined up for you here this afternoon. John Hodge is going to join to help us wrap up Masters weekend coming up here in just a few minutes. I'm excited about that. And I'm also excited to talk to VFL Chris Burke. In hour number three, we'll be talking Tennessee baseball, another big series win for Tony Vitello of the Baseball Vols this weekend. They take down Florida 2 out of 3 in Lindsey Nelson. Bear, we are locked and loaded, my friend. How are you, sir?
Not doing too bad.
Excellent. Hanging in. Excellent, man. You have I know you had the treatment last week, so you're taking it easy this weekend. You watch any sports or anything else that caught your interest?
I watched some golf.
Yeah,
I watched a good chunk of the race, the NASCAR race yesterday from Martinsville, and then obviously the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama making history yesterday and over the weekend. So it was a gorgeous day at Augusta yesterday, and a lot of fun to watch. So,
and then you got the baseball team that we're going to get into, but let's start with some breaking news this afternoon as we head to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. Rick Barnes making moves, moving and shaking out there. Tennessee announcing the addition of Justin Gainey to Barnes' coaching staff. So it looks like, as long as Mike Schwartz sticks around, doesn't get a head coaching job, that Barnes' staff is complete moving forward. And just like the player roster, Bear, a lot of turnover here. You got Justin Gainey and the guy from Austin Peay. I can't even remember his name anymore. Rod Clark?
Yes.
So two new assistants here. Gainey, 15-year D1 coaching veteran, has been around the block a time or two, experience in the ACC. He played at NC State, I believe, for Herb Sendek back in the day. And he's coached all over the place, man. ACC, was with Arizona for a while, so he's got some Pac-12 experience. Big East, comes from to Tennessee from Marquette. And the interesting thing about this, Bear, is at Marquette, he had Jonas Idu committed. And it sounds like Tennessee will be a heavy, heavy favorite to land the 4-star, 7-footer from Charlotte. Gainey is from North Carolina, so he's got that tie there. Had this guy coming to Marquette. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've seen some people talking about online, well, he didn't have North Carolina, Duke, or I don't even know if he had an NC State offer. Maybe he's a little bit overrated to be going up there to Marquette. I would say, okay, perhaps. But first of all, Marquette's decent competition, I would suppose, to be going against and recruiting. Nothing wrong with that. And second of all, Bear, you can't teach 7 feet, man. He's got size that this roster doesn't have nearly enough of, and we need big men.
Yeah.
His offer list is pretty impressive.
What is it, Hickman?
Marquette, Alabama, App State, Clemson, Georgia, Houston, Iona, Kansas, Miami, NC State, Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's good. Bear, we're not getting a 5-star one-and-done guy, but we need size.
You'll get no arguments out of me. I mean, that's been the Achilles heel since Kyle Alexander left. I mean, we didn't have anybody, any rim protection to speak of last year. I guess we did with Pond some, you know, just because he was so athletic, but with Fulkerson not having the best year, he wasn't up to snuff, and we need some size, man. That's one thing I noticed in the tournament. The teams that really did well have really good big men.
You want a player comparison here? Because I watched the film on this kid.
I need to go look at the film.
Stevie Hamer.
Mm.
That's kind of what I saw, Bear. I saw some Hamer to this kid. He's just really big, really long. Not the most. He doesn't like, oh my God, athleticism.
Right.
But big, can score around the basket. Looks like if he's
They're awfully big shoes to fill.
Yeah, it looks like if he's a hard worker that he could be a good low post defender. He's not super skinny, but he's not super filled out either. He's listed 7'215" on Rivals.
That's pretty skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, so he'll have to put on some weight, and he can do it. He's still young, just graduating high school. So seems like Tennessee, by virtue of adding Justin Gainey to the coaching staff today, will be in a really strong position to land Jonas Idu. Will Jonas Idu say I do to a potential marriage with Tennessee and Rick Barnes?
I bet he does. So how many spots does that leave us?
So if we are, I think they've got 9 right now if you include Dabunje, right? Out of 14 spots if Fulkerson is coming back. I know this is confusing. We do this every day on the show, and I'm confused by it. Bear's confused by it. I know we're all confused by it, but 9 out of 14 spots is my count. If you added Idu, Huntley Hatfield, and Tomba, that would get you to 12 out of 14 spots. So you got 2 spots to play with. Maybe you take a transfer, and maybe you just stick one of those extra spots in your back pocket to see if another Vescovi or Jarnell Stokes situation develops later this year. I'll roll with that. It's a lot of new guys on the roster, very different looking roster situation if that's what comes to pass. But I don't know that we on paper would be a better team than last year, Bear, but I feel like the pieces are there more in terms of Chandler's going to be the point guard, and then from there, you can just kind of fill in behind him with Vescovi and Triple J if you need those minutes. Maybe Powell can play there some. And then you've got more options in the low post.
Okay.
So I feel I'd be okay with that if those are the 3 we're going to add here. Or, you know, I do Huntley Hatfield and Tomba. And maybe you've got one more transfer to be named later coming in. The thing about this transfer market, man, every time you open up the message boards or the Twitter machine, there's a new name in there. So it's really hard to follow. I saw where Gurley, the guy from Furman, went to Alabama.
Right.
I found that interesting because I heard a lot of Tennessee fans saying, we don't need a – he's just like Fulkerson. We don't need – okay, well, he's going to the defending conference champions. Nate Oates thinks he can play. I'd have liked to have that kid.
I would too.
By the way, what happened to Furman football over the weekend? Did you see that?
I know that they had a game get canceled.
Did it get canceled?
Well, I know one of their, you know, they were supposed to have two games left.
No, they played on Saturday and got absolutely, they got bent over a barrel and shown the 50 states by the Citadel.
They got lambasted?
The Citadel drank the Paladin's milkshake 26-7.
That's no good.
George Quarles. What happened? George Quarles. 7 points against the Citadel? That's unacceptable. I don't know. Maybe it was really hot. That game was on the road in Charleston. It can be really muggy down there. 7 points?
That's just disheartening.
Do you think?
But, I mean, like I've said, you know, I don't – Quarles not the greatest offensive coordinator in the world when he's you know, when things are evened up and you don't have a recruiting advantage like you did out at Maryville.
Wow. Wow.
Hmm.
Any updates on the Catholic football coaching search, Bear?
No, not that I know of.
Okay, then.
I haven't heard too much. They're playing it close to the vest.
Baseball was a lot of fun this weekend. Actually missed yesterday's game. Had a lunch get-together, and game wasn't on where we were at, so it's whatever, man. We were hanging out, had a good time anyway, and I ended up missing the one game that we lost, so that's okay, right? I saved myself
getting the series.
Yeah, we gave up 3 runs in the 8th yesterday to blow a big lead. Not a big lead. I think we were up 6-4 or something, and couldn't hold on, couldn't nail it down. So I didn't have to watch that and end up getting mad and ruining a set. Not ruining, but putting a damper on the weekend on a Sunday afternoon.
Those Florida players were just absolutely absurd. I've never seen a team act like that when they avoid a sweep. It was ridiculous.
Oh, were they going acting like they did something?
Oh, yeah, they acted like they just won the College World Series.
They went berserk. Huh.
Really? Do you think it's because of just the way our fans were?
Probably.
I don't know if this is true, but I saw somebody put on Twitter that apparently that just by reading the lips that one of the Florida players dropped a couple F-bombs directed towards Coach V.
Better watch it.
Okay. We won 2 out of 3. Let them talk. Who's number one in the SEC right now? Who has the best record in conference play?
That would be your Tennessee Volunteers, I believe, isn't it?
Damn right. Meat stick. Boy, man, that is fun. The Friday night game or the Saturday night game. I was watching at home. I think it was the Saturday night game. And Tennessee, was it Saturday night where we scored all the runs in the bottom of the 6th?
I believe so.
We scored 5 runs in the bottom of the 6th, I believe, Saturday night. When that was going on and we were getting into their bullpen and that crowd, those kids back there were all liquored up and whatever, it felt like just watching on TV, and I would love to hear from somebody who was there. Shout out to Joe Fowler, who invited me to the game yesterday. I had to turn him down because I had that prior obligation. I would have loved to have gone.
You can watch them play this weekend for $300.
Anybody wants to take your boy, holler at me, holler at Bear. We'd love to go see the baseball balls this weekend. I'm not paying a dime, but if you got a freebie, I might buy you a box of popcorn or something.
$300.
Yeah. Bear, like when I don't know if you're watching Saturday night, but that crowd was so in Florida's head. It felt like coming through the television that there was about to be a riot breakout or something. It felt borderline kind of dangerous.
Well, they get pretty wild over there, man.
Because
what do they call the legends?
The legends of Lindsey Nelson.
They really ought to workshop that.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's growing on me. I think if you just shorten it to Legends of Lindsey, you get that kind of an LOL, the rolling alliteration of it. I feel like that's better than Legends of Lindsey Nelson. Legends is a little bit pretentious, don't you think? It's like, okay, kids.
Yeah, it's like that old Big Ten thing where when they used to call their legends and leaders. Was that what they called their divisions?
But our kids are living up to it, man. I'll admit, I was a little skeptical when I heard that, but those kids put in the work. They had that one dude, the first reliever that came in for Florida once we got into their bullpen. They had that dude rattled. That guy could not find the strike zone, and they were giving it to him. And
yeah, they're giving him the business, weren't they?
It's not like in Major League Baseball where you've got 30,000, 20,000, whatever, in the stands, and so the stadium is so big, one person can't be heard really. Because it's such a small venue, and there's only whatever it is, half capacity because of COVID, you can hear the individual yells and hollers, and there's an intimacy to it that is just intense, man. It is intense over there. That dude, the Florida pitcher, walked out of there, and, oh, man, he was pissed. I mean, they had a huge impact on the game. I don't know if we win the game at that point because it felt like our offense was dead in the water. Their pitcher was just had us on lockdown, couldn't get anything. And then they did all their damage in that one frame, and that was enough to hold on. And that's the thing that's so awesome about this team is they fight for everything, don't give you an inch. And if you crack that door open, they're just going to kick the darn thing down. And so you always have to be head on a swivel.
Yeah, I kind of – what little bit I watched yesterday, it seems like we're continuing to leave, you know, strand guys on bases and not score as many runs as we probably should be scoring. Because that's gonna come into play when we play – I don't know if you caught any of the Ole Miss Arkansas series. I mean, they lit it up.
Yeah.
No, Ole Miss can make a score. Would they score 30 runs?
Vandy,
on the number one team.
Yeah, Vandy comes in here, little bit of a wounded animal. I mean, they dropped 2 of 3 against Georgia over the weekend, a team that Tennessee's beat. By the way, the first time since 1970, when Bear was baby Bear, just trying to figure out which side of the playpen smells the worst. The last time Tennessee won its first 4 series of SEC play. How about that?
We're in uncharted territory right now with the baseball team.
Are you pinching yourself? Can we keep this going? Is there the battered ball fan?
Try not to get too excited. You know,
just waiting.
You gotta keep your emotions in check.
Keep that cup securely fastened.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't let your guard down.
Oh, man. We'll talk about it with you this afternoon, folks. I was at the open practice on Saturday. Rick Butler and I were there representing Fan Run. I have some notes, some observations, some things to share. I have thoughts. Oh, yes, I have thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. I'll share those with you on your Rocky Top Report coming up a little bit later. Right now, though, we break it down. Our resident golf guru, John Hodge, joins the festivities next. Get his thoughts on the baseball balls. I know he's been watching that as well. When we continue on the drive right here on Fan Run Radio. You know, I mean, that's a good start to the week for Adam Hickman. He's got You talk about a pro guest when John Hodge calls in because he hasn't heard from Hickman at the appropriate time. He's like, okay, I'm just going to call in to the show. What other guest does that?
I didn't want him to sit through the ads, so I was about to pick up the phone.
Were you?
I was.
Did you forget?
No. But I do appreciate him calling, though.
Makes your job a lot easier, right? You don't have to sit there and dial the phone. Which is something we just don't do much anymore, right? Actually dial a phone. Whenever you have to look up a phone number and actually enter the number in the phone, doesn't that seem like such an inconvenience, such a waste of time now?
This is probably the only place I actually dial numbers at.
Back in my day, we had to do that every time you make a phone call. Hickman? Let's bring in Hodge this afternoon. John Hodge on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Haji. How are you?
What do you say, bud?
What's
up? At least I don't have any zeros or nines in my number, so you don't have to dial those.
Well, we don't have an actual rotary phone here, Haji. I mean, how low-tech do you think we are?
Well, I've been to the studio, so you never know.
The palatial fan-run pleasure chamber where we are this afternoon.
I wouldn't want Adam to chip a nail calling me, and I would feel bad about that.
Don't strain yourself, Hickman. Don't strain yourself.
Don't worry about it, boys. I won't.
Quick basketball comment. I really don't want to take up too much time on it, but it's just something to think about that I've thought about, and that the two one-and-done guys got us one-and-done. So, and the two one-and-done guys at Kentucky got them out of the tournament. So, it's great to have those five stars, fun to watch, great players, exciting. But how's the math work out on that?
Well, you got to have a complete team. And I just think you have a chance to recruit those guys, and both, you know, Springer had ties to the state by playing with B. Mays, and obviously Keon was an in-state player. Kennedy Chandler's an in-state player. When you have a great player inside your borders, even if this sounds crazy, even if he is one and done, you have to recruit him. Yes, you recruit the best players you can. Haji, I just feel like this team's downfall, and I hate to put it all on Fulke, but that was kind of the deal. We had no post presence. The freshmen, in my opinion, were the only ones that really kept us in games at times.
Yeah, you got to have a big man. I mean, when the stud freshmen showed out, they were taking it to the rim because there was nobody else to give it to down there. Maybe, you know. So totally get it. But you know, there's a lot. How about the chemistry we had, you know, 2 years ago?
Yep.
With all the seniors, Grant and Schofield and all that. So,
well, that's the thing. One of my big takeaways from the tournament was, I mean, Gonzaga and Baylor were both pretty veteran teams. Yeah, Suggs was one and done, but he really melded in with some of their more veteran players really well. And then Baylor had a couple of just like straight up old dudes who'd been there forever, you know, and had been around the block a time or two. So I think you want experience, and we should have a decent amount of experience on the roster next year. You add in, and maybe Chandler can be a Suggs-type player where he's going to be probably the only freshman playing a ton of minutes, I would say, the only true freshman playing a ton of minutes. So
he'll be good from the jump, yeah.
You would hope so, and hopefully another thing to keep in mind, Haji, that I've thought about is the impact of COVID last summer. You want those guys to get in and play a lot together, right? A lot of just open gym, playing hours of games a day and stuff like that. And they didn't get to do that, which I think probably set this team back. I know it happened all over the country, but again, veteran teams, the ones that showed out. And I wonder if having a full quote unquote regular offseason will help not only Tennessee, but other teams that are going to be loading up on high-impact freshmen next season.
Yeah, I don't know if Barnes has had a lot of experience with that. There's a little bit at Texas, obviously, but he has developed players well. I mean, just Kevin Punter really stands out to me. He basically changed his shot, and it would have been nice to see him with a little more talent around him to not let that go to waste, but we shall see.
Haji, the Masters, always cool to see somebody win their first green jacket. Hideki Matsuyama, I feel like that's a name that we've seen up near the leaderboard for years and years in this tournament. And no, he's one of those guys you always just kind of think, okay, he's obviously a great player to be performing at that level, but I don't think anybody really saw him being a guy who's going to win a green jacket someday. Pretty cool story, Hideki Matsuyama.
Very cool story for the country and the continent. Obviously, it's the first Asian major winner. But I'm a big Jack fan, so I watched the 1986 Masters a lot in the 90s. Just, you know, something to do. It was fun, and it got to be where, like watching Seinfeld, I knew everybody. I remember what everybody said. You know, and every announcer said. And Jim Nantz, when Tommy Nakajima came to the 16th hole. It's hard to believe Jim Nance was at the 16th hole 35 years ago. But he said, when Tommy Nakajima says when it's springtime in Japan, they talk about the Masters. So it's just a crazy, you know, Japan is golf crazed country. So it won't be considered a Masters Classic here, but and there, he's going to be, when he gets home today, he's going to be making the rounds, and he's going to be treated like a world-class hero. And and he's a soft-spoken guy, too, so I don't know how he's going to handle it. But it'll be fun, I'm sure, a fun ride for him. But you got to be happy for them and for, the Japanese people that are having trouble, with getting the Olympics going because of COVID Hideki won the low am 10 years ago at the Masters, just a few weeks after the tsunami that caused all the nuclear reactor damage. So it was kind of an uplifting thing for them then. And now with all they're going through with COVID and the Olympics, whether or not they're going to be able to have people there and so on. It's just nice. You got to feel good for those guys, those people.
Haji, if you're hanging out here and we're going out to eat, we're going out to Wasabi. Are you going for the sushi or the hibachi?
Oh, hibachi, I guess. Sushi's okay, but it's overrated for $6 a bite.
Right.
$6 a bite.
Thank you.
Come on.
I've been trying to make that point to my wife for 20 years now.
You go to the hibachi factory and
you load
fill
up
yourself for $8, right?
Yeah, well, you fill up. You go, first of all, they cook it there in front of you. That's cool. They throw you a couple of rice balls or whatever. They do all the things. But then they fill you up, like you're saying. And usually I walk out of there with a pretty nice to-go box.
You're right. Yeah.
It's like a couple of meals for the price of one. But
I was a bellman during the World's Fair at the Hilton downtown, and when the Japanese groups came through, they talk about packing something. Their suitcase, they all had one suitcase for the 2-week tour of the country or whatever, and they weighed about 60-70 pounds each, so they know how to cram stuff in there.
So they weren't just shacking up at like Kramer's place in the drawers there. They actually got the hotel rooms.
No,
that's
right.
Good.
I don't recall the. If they were, I don't believe they were the largest tipping contingent
really?
That came through there either. But it was a group deal, It was one of those deals, $2 a bag.
That's
one of
the, yeah, and they're from out of, not only out of town, out of country, out of continent. They're never going to see you again. Who cares if they stiff young John Hodge,
That's just, right. That's right.
No way that's going to come back on them, right?
Yeah, but we didn't have any anti-Asian sentiments, though, like it's going around now either. So
no, that's not good.
Good for them. Bravo for them.
Haji.
If you want to say that Shoffley maybe let a chance to make it interesting at least slip away. I don't want to say he choked it away. He said he made a good swing. I believe him, and they got the wind wrong, and you just can't make that mistake, though. And who knows what would have happened the last couple of holes. It would have been a little more fun to watch. It was certainly anticlimactic. Basically, after the first 9 holes, it wasn't a whole lot of drama left out there, but it would have been certainly nice to see. I would hate to see it happen to Hideki losing a 6-shot lead, but it certainly would have been more enjoyable television.
Is Will Zalatoris a name that we should keep in mind in the future? Is he going to have staying power?
Definitely. There's so many young kids now are just they start younger, they're coached younger and better, younger than we were. It's just they're highly competitive at a younger age, so they're not blinking when they get the opportunity, when their time comes to get an opportunity. And the guy finished tied for 6th in the US Open, and he doesn't really even have full status on the tour yet, but he's going to he's going to have a long career, and he'll probably win a Masters. He hits it high, which you need to do, to keep the ball on the greens and land him in the right spots or whatever. So he's going to be a guy certainly to watch. He just needs maybe to eat a couple sandwiches. Maybe he needs to go to the Hibachi factory here once or twice. He's got, guy weighs 149 pounds or whatever and hits it a mile. So
isn't that crazy? You see those dudes, Justin Thomas too. You don't realize how slight of stature they are, but they find a way to generate that power.
With the turn, shoulder rotation, yeah. Well, he was the best American out there. You could argue that Patrick Reed beat him by a shot, maybe, or two shots yesterday, but he wasn't in the thick of the the hunt, and Zalatoris was, and he was by far the best American under the pressure out there at 24 years old. So, sure, why not expect that? And you could also expect Jordan and Rahm to be there. Make a note when you have me on next year that Rahm and Jordan are my picks to be in the top five, certainly, and have a chance to win, because that's all they do is compete at the Masters.
I feel like you've been telling me John Rahm's going to win a major for 10 years.
I think I've been telling you for at least a couple. I hate to say that again, but I'll keep betting on him until he does, because he's going to. Yeah.
When's the next major?
Well, it's they moved the PGA to May, so that's why they moved the Players back to March. So now we've got one every month, which is
really
kind of nice to keep stuff happening.
Usually the PGA is last.
So often. Right, in August, yeah. So it's in May, and then you've got the U.S. Open in June, then the British or the Open, and then comes the Olympics, hopefully, in August.
Okay.
And the Ryder Cup with fans, if we can control ourselves. In the fall, in September, so plenty to look forward to, certainly.
Yeah, you can't have a Ryder Cup with no fans. I mean, would be the point?
No. They could have had it last year, actually, and I think that's why they really didn't, was because of the fans not being there.
Yeah.
So,
speaking of fans, have you been watching the UT baseball series?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I watched it most of it Saturday. It was hard to watch for a while there Saturday, but you're right. The fans just were unbelievable there in the bottom of the sixth, and then the rest of the way with the mustache closing it out. They made their presence known for sure. I mean, it sounded loud. It seemed like there was a full house just the way it sounded on TV. Very fun to watch.
Any thoughts on the Braves replay fiasco last night? Did you see that?
Oh man, yeah. I just don't know why they can't get it right if they're going to have it. I don't understand that. It happens, in every sport, though.
Yeah.
And now there's a replay in every sport, and they still get it wrong. I don't know.
Well, I feel like it, and I'm a Braves fan, and they definitely missed it. He didn't touch the plate, but
right.
I remember as we're watching in real time, we didn't see that definitive view from behind the plate with freeze frames and everything until after they had upheld the call. So my only thing is I can see how, they're going back to the replay center and there's pressure to move it along and hurry it up and get it right. And if they didn't get that view until later, who's to say what they're actually looking at? And it has to be definitive to over – you can't just say, well – it looks like he probably didn't touch it. You have to see it.
I remember how it used to be with when there was no replay. It was just like, of course you got mad, but I don't know how the umps can win in that situation. I never know if they're safe or out until they give me the call. Watching on TV, obviously, in baseball, it's so, you don't really see the toes on the sideline or whatever, and you can't see the feet hitting the plate because the catcher's blocking you, so you don't know what view the umpire has. So there's so many bang bang plays. I think most of the plays at first are called by sound, probably, because you can't watch the glove and the foot at the same time anyway. So I mean, their job is really tough, but when you get a chance to look at it from at least four or five angles, they should be able to get it right, wouldn't you think?
I'm amazed at how many times we go to the replay in these college games. It seems like
baseball,
half a dozen every in baseball, half a dozen.
Times every game,
it seems.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you wouldn't think there would be that many, and you wouldn't think they would even use it, because I don't know if every league in the country can't use it, probably, right? Not every game's on TV in the Sun Belt or whatever.
Yeah, and they don't have great angles a lot of the time in some of those situations, especially did the runner beat it out to first base, it seems.
But they predominantly do get it right, though, right?
Usually,
so if it needs to be overturned, they overturn. If it needs to be confirmed, they confirm it. Sometimes it's obvious that the call was right or needs, they still take too long. That's what I don't understand. I don't like dragging a game out any longer than necessary when it's obvious what happened. But I guess they got to talk it over and make sure.
Haji,
fun
always
to watch.
Yeah, man, it is fun to watch.
I'm a little like Bear, that we're three games in the loss column ahead of Georgia, who's down there in sixth place in the division or whatever. So we got to still keep taking care of business. Got to get a couple this weekend, I think, even though it's going to be a tough one. Just I'd like to have that super regional. I'm already saying let's host a super regional, just like in basketball. I'm thinking, guys, you can't just let these games get away when you need a 3 seed. You don't want to be that dreaded 5 seed because you know what's going to happen. Oregon State's going to beat you. So every game matters.
Long way to go. No doubt about it. Haji, love you, buddy.
Thanks for jumping on.
John Hodge, our resident golf guru here on Fan Run Radio, hopping on the G3 Help Me Hotline with us this afternoon. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III, 865-558-8030. Your number, you check them out online at g3helpme.com. Stay with us. We got your Rocky Top Report coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee football Vols back out on the practice field this week. We are halfway through spring practice. Time flies when you're having fun.
How'd they look out there the other day, Russell?
I will tell you. Pull up my notes here. Adam Hickman. Bear, you didn't make it, man. Me and Rick missed you at the open practice. It was fun.
Yeah, I've told you, I don't really do football practice.
I took my little guy. They did a lot of scrimmaging, man. It was definitely
pretty boring.
My observations are as follows. First of all, I thought the pace was slower than expected. You hear about and I'm talking about the offense mostly. You hear about the pace that Heupel wants to install. I think a lot of it is just teaching new system and everything. I would imagine they'll go faster, but I did not see any sort of noticeable difference from a Pruitt practice, per se.
A lot of those guys probably aren't ready for that yet.
I think so, especially the quarterbacks. One thing I did find interesting is that Golish, he's a true offensive coordinator. When we got there, they were focusing on goal line stuff, and they're lined up, in the red zone and running stuff, and Golish is the guy running the show. Heupel's kind of in the background observing, going up, talking to the quarterbacks every now and then, but he's the one walking around setting everything up, and like everybody, O-line, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, everybody.
You mean the defensive specialist wasn't sticking his nose in it?
Yeah, it's funny, letting an offensive coordinator be an offensive coordinator. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. The defense as a whole, to me, needs a lot of work. We have that who's the star conversation. I just don't see a lot of stars on that side of the ball. I see some good players. I see a lot of quality SEC talent, but I don't see a ton of difference makers. I don't see any difference makers, to be quite honest with you. Now, one guy – yes, Bear?
I was just going to say, we've definitely got – we are talent deficient right now.
One guy that I think could be a difference maker is Byron Young. The JUCO – that's his name, right? It's not
– yes.
Byron Moore.
Byron Young.
Moore was the JUCO DB we had a couple of years ago. Byron Young, he's got some quick twitch, get off the ball. He's a good-looking player. I think he can help – if he can adjust to the SEC game quickly enough. And then another name I thought was looks like a good player is Kwazi Garland. That's Karat Garland's younger brother from Georgia. He came here as a walk-on, and he's a good bouncy athlete, man. I think he could help, especially since you don't have many linebackers at this point. So I got to look at him. Maybe a dark horse to start at linebacker for the Vols this year, Kwazi Garland. Plus, it's just a cool name, Kwazi Garland, you know. So I liked him. Those are my observations. Basketball news, if you're just joining us, Tennessee announces Justin Gainey has joined the volunteer staff in basketball. 15-year D1 veteran with experience all over the country comes to Tennessee from Marquette. And the immediate speculation is that he will put Tennessee in a strong position to add Jonas Idu, 4-star big man out of Charlotte, who he had committed at Marquette and has since reopened his recruitment. Tennessee baseball Vols up to number 5 in the D1 poll. I've not checked the coaches poll. I'd imagine we're still number 4 there. Tennessee goes on the road tomorrow to Western Carolina. So that'll be a long bus trip through the mountains to take on the Catamounts. And then this weekend, Bear, we had this conversation over and over again last week. The Florida series, the biggest series at Lindsey Nelson since 2005 or 2004, and then this right. one, this will be bigger.
This is a big one. I don't know if they'll still be number one, but number one Vanderbilt set to roll in here.
Yeah, I think they dropped a few pegs after dropping their series this weekend, but still.
Yeah. They're one of the best teams in the country. Hopefully not going to be too pissed off about their performance this past weekend. So hopefully Kamar Rocker will stay in a slump.
I'm sure they will be pissed off about it. And, you know, I actually think, and people have been telling us about what happened after the game yesterday. There were some words exchanged between Vitello and some of the Florida players, and the Florida players celebrated like they did something even though we won the series and whatever. They won the game. It's their right to celebrate. I actually think losing yesterday might have been good for us, Bear. And don't get me wrong, I would have loved to swept Florida. That would have been awesome, right? But that any chance of this team getting the big head, like, went out
the window. Yeah, that went out the window.
Yeah.
You know, we won the series, had a good wake-up call yesterday, and hopefully that'll get the boys focused and get them fired up and ready to go, help them focus in better when Vanderbilt comes rolling in here. So we definitely need to take care of business tomorrow.
Yep. That is your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. If you are in the market, there's a seller's market big time right now. Check out Bo Kregner online, BoKnowsHouses.com, or just call him directly for a free consultation, 865-742-1035. Any real estate questions you have, any home selling or home buying questions you may have, Bo would be glad to share his expertise with you, and it won't cost you a dime. Free consultation, 865-742-1035, online at BoKnowsHouses.com. Let's go to the phones and talk to T-Carp. Good afternoon, T-Carp. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Bear, you hurt me, buddy. But you hurt me bad.
How's that?
Saying Quirrell's wasn't a good offensive coordinator.
he got blasted.
He got blasted. I'll give you that. The second half of the season was just terrible offensively. There's really not a lot to say. I mean, they still beat Randy Sanders, though, which is always good. But the last half of the season, I mean, you said it was just terrible. It's hard to call offense when the offensive line is a sieve. So, and the quarterback's throwing 2 or 3 interceptions a game. It's and you can't run the football. I mean,
that sounds familiar.
It's hard to call offense like that. But what can you do? I knew it wasn't good when after a bye week they only scored 7 points. I'm like, that's not good. So, But we'll see. We'll see what happens after a non-COVID year, and your starting quarterback doesn't leave for a D1 school and all that stuff. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Russell, so you're saying Tennessee not very talented is what I heard.
Well, I think that yes and no, if that makes any sense. Like I said, I don't see a lot of stars. I don't see a lot of guys that are going to be on first team all SEC. I don't see any that are going to be like second or third team all SEC. But I do think that there are some nice pieces. Cade Mays is a quality player. And they've got some other guys that were highly touted recruits on that offensive line. They've got some highly touted recruits on the defensive line as well. We just don't have a lot of guys that have shown that they can be difference makers at this level. So they're going to have to identify some of those guys. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them go into the transfer portal some more this summer. But, yeah, we're lacking in playmakers for sure.
Are we better than Kentucky?
It's interesting. Probably similar. I maybe a little bit more talented, but, again, they're – whatever, 7-8 years into Stoops, is their culture is set, their foundation is laid. They sort of are who they are now. They're a good 8-4 type program. Tennessee is just up in the air, man. There's no identity there.
That's frustrating. You think we lose those twins to Kentucky?
Oh, man, it sounded kind of like it.
Yeah, that's what's concerning me. That we'll see. Heupel's got to win a few things, you know, actually win some games, but at the same time, It's just one of those things where it really, really hurts if you guys that you really need to get out of your backyard and you lose them to Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's just killing me. Heupel has got to just outcoach some folks. It is a good sign, though, that you said he's actually letting his offensive coordinator, you know, coach, and we'll see what happens with the defense. But I don't know, man. We'll just have to see.
Buck up, T-Cart. Buck up.
Right, we'll get there.
Hang in there.
We'll get there. Y'all be good.
Hang in there. And hang in with your Paladins as well, T-Cart. They'll bounce back. GQ will bounce back. Stay with us, folks. Hour number two of The Drive coming up here on Fan Run Radio.